street protests and town hall meetings have swiftly followed last week's shooting death of 26-year-old Mario Woods by police in San Francisco's Bayview District. Officers were responding to reports of a stabbing in the area and found Woods with a knife. Police say they tried to disarm Woods using beanbag rounds and pepper spray before opening fire on him on a city street. A cell phone video of the shooting was posted to Instagram and quickly went viral. The incident has caused many to call for police reform and better training. Yet three of the five officers involved in the shooting had already attended SFPD's 40-hour crisis intervention training class. In fact, Chief Greg Sir says his department has the most crisis intervention trained officers in the country. This kind of training is focused on responding to those in a mental health emergency. It's not clear whether this was the case in the Mario Woods incident. But with the mental health care system strained and cash-strapped, the burden of these emergencies is increasingly falling to the police. So far, roughly 22% of SFPD has taken the crisis intervention training course. But can 40 hours in a classroom prepare police officers for what they'll face on the streets? KLW's Holly J. McDeed has the story.
It's the last day of the San Francisco Police Department crisis intervention training class. Around 20 officers sit at attention. Some cross their arms.
Not going to be talking to you about tactics today. That's not what this class is about.
Experts present statistics about issues like suicide and post-traumatic stress. There's a history lesson on homelessness. And then there's role-playing. One student acts as the police officer, while another pretends to be a suicidal man with a knife in a public park.
Hey, what you got in your hand, sir?
It's just something I found on the wheelchair.
Oh, yeah?
Don't worry, you guys are
cool. You want to do me a favor and can you drop it, please? Let me just see your hands.
The officer earns the man's trust by speaking calmly and asking questions about his family. The man drops his knife.
Hands up, don't put it down, you're not going to bone rush.
No.
As the mock bystanders chant, the officer finally gets the man in the back of the police car. On one condition.
Right. I just don't want to be bum rushed. I don't want to be.
You know what? You don't have to worry about that.
All right.
Okay? I promise you I will not bum rush you.
In the scene, the suicidal man is calm and quiet, and it doesn't take much to convince him to change his plans. Once it's over, one student raises his hand and points out that if the officer really encountered a man in the park with a weapon, things would have gone down differently. He says a so-called lethal, a gun, would probably be involved.
We're probably going to have a lethal around as well because, you know, he's got a knife. If he advances at us and we don't have our guns out or anything like that,
sure.
He's going to get to us before we get to our guns and get to him.
That's the rationale that Chief Greg Sir gave in the Mario Woods shooting last week. Officers felt threatened, so they opened fire.
You know, doing all this, you know, soft-talking and everything like that. Like I said, when we're out on the street, it's a different scenario.
It is different in here. It's controlled. And that gives officers a chance to slow down and learn different de-escalation tactics. And they also learn how to refer people to treatment services. There's not much else they can do to help solve long-term psychological problems, but there's at least one sergeant in the department whose job is to try.
So hello, I'm Kelly Kruger. I'm a sergeant with the San Francisco Police Department, and I'm the psychiatric liaison in the Special Victims Unit.
It's the psychiatric liaison unit, but it's a unit of one, just her. When officers struggle to find a way to help someone who's mentally ill, they call Kruger. It's her job to help those people find the services and get the diagnosis they need. And there's a lot of need.
So these are all phone calls and are things that I need to do stuff with, like today, ideally. It's just like, holy moly. I do wish that it could settle down a little bit.
Kruger's office is filled with hundreds of files everywhere, plus a filing cabinet of more files. She flips through sheets of paper, each one telling the story of a different person.
And do you know how many cases you have?
No, it wouldn't even, it would, It would upset. It would be too. No, I don't is a short answer. There's been times.
Kruger says the number of cases she's had to respond to has at least doubled since she started her job roughly a decade ago. Before that, she spent over 20 years as a psychiatric technician at hospitals and with mobile crisis units. She applied for this job because she didn't think law officers grasped what it meant to have a mental illness at the time, and she thought that she could help. Every day, she'll get about 40 phone calls.
This might be my traumatic brain injury guy, and I want to tell you this story after. Hello? I had a feeling it was you. How's it going? So I was noticing how your birthday's coming up on Sunday. So I wanted to see if you wanted any kind of birthday thing when I visit you tomorrow.
Her days start around 11 a.m. and end at about 2 a.m. Since she is the psychiatric liaison unit, she doesn't have time to respond to every call.
Back when I worked for the Department of Public Health, we do a full assessment, be thorough. It had to be complete. You know, now I just sort of run around to the biggest fire.
So she focuses on the fires she can control, like one woman who won't let her elderly parents use the restroom in their house. The woman also vandalized some neighbors' cars. They're the ones who went to the cops, and those cops went to Kruger. We drive over to the woman's home in the Bayview district, and Kruger sits down with her on the curb for a talk. Kruger is not afraid to be direct. Minutes into their conversation, she asks,
"Have you been able to stay clean and sober yourself as far as substances go?"
I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I love honesty.
She confesses to Kruger that she's been smoking crystal meth as a painkiller.
I see.
I apologize.
Kruger wants to know if her parents are safe. Then she tries to see how she can help.
This is what I need to know from you, though, and I appreciate you being honest with me. If we could arrange like a better living situation for you, that you where you had your own space, would that be something that you'd be interested in?
They exchange phone numbers and then we leave. I asked Kruger if she thinks progress was made.
She seemed more scattered on my first meeting, so I'm hoping she actually will do what she said she would do. But I feel like it was a positive experience, and you build trust by being consistent with the things that you say. You know what I mean? So certainly no harm was done.
Kruger encourages her colleagues to respond to these situations the way she does. Calmly, with open ears. Her boss, San Francisco Police Chief Greg Sir, has made it a department-wide policy for officers to respond to a psychiatric crisis slowly. The crisis intervention training is designed to get them practice in doing their jobs like Kruger does hers. Sergeant Mario Molina organized the most recent class.
So by receiving the training, they are taught to slow down. To slow down, set up a perimeter. If we have to be there all day, we'll be there all day.
Molina says you can see examples of this working.
There was a gentleman that had stolen a car, went into a fire escape, and the officers cordoned off the street, went and talked to him. It took a while.
And after a few hours just talking to the man, they realized he really wanted to see his cat, so they brought the cat up to him.
But we got this guy down from this fire escape, you know, without getting harmed, right?
But Kelly Kruger acknowledges that stories like those aren't enough to show what's working and what isn't.
So it's getting the word of mouth, the feedback. But that isn't to the level of if we had people, you know, doing real research.
There haven't been any studies showing that crisis intervention training is effective in San Francisco. But there has been research elsewhere. Since 2011, SFPD has based its training on the so-called Memphis model, which was launched in that city in 1988 after police shot and killed a mentally ill man wielding a knife. The model is now in use in over 2,500 police departments nationwide. Some studies show that implementation can lead to reduction in arrests and police use of force for people with mental illnesses. But Sergeant Kruger doesn't think the success of crisis intervention training can only be measured by shootings or arrests. If an officer's life is at risk, she says, force will be necessary.
the officer is going to respond the same way regardless of whether the person is mentally ill, if somebody is trying to take the life of somebody else or their lives.
During our drive, the radio blares out different emergencies throughout the city.
That's 800 critical response on the market near the 7-Eleven yelling and screaming, beating herself on the sidewalk.
So far, about 1 in 5 San Francisco police officers have taken the crisis intervention training course. That's a start, but it still means there's not always a trained officer available to respond to these kinds of calls. Trained or not, whoever does respond won't have the time Krueger has to develop a long relationship. They'll have a few minutes, maybe even seconds, to figure out what to do. In San Francisco, I'm Holly J. McDeed for Cross Currents.